The current representative of the 87th State Assembly District, James Jimmy Boy Edming, is running for re-election for a third time. But two Democrats are going head-to-head in a primary next month for a chance to face Edming November 6th in the general election. We'll spend this hour on the West Side meeting the primary candidates, learning about their platforms, and giving you a chance to call in and ask them direct questions. The 87th Assembly District includes all of Rusk and Taylor counties, as well as most of Sawyer County, the northwestern portion of Marathon County, and a small part of the northwestern part of Clark County. For more than 16 years, the district has elected Republicans, but the Democrats in the primary are hoping to break the trend. Good morning, I'm Rich Kramer. You're listening to The West Side. Thanks for tuning us in on Ideas 88.3 WHWC and 88.7 WRFW. I'd like to introduce and thank my guests for joining us today in no particular order. First, I'll start with Elizabeth Riley. Riley ran in 2012 against Mary Williams, former incumbent, and in 2016 against Jimmy Boy Edming. And she's running once again in 2018. She has lived in Hayward for 18 years and is currently working as a professor of nursing at Rasmussen College. Oh, I'm getting a shaking head. Elizabeth Riley, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Rich. I appreciate being here.
That's an old bio, isn't it?
It is. It is. Lived there for 20 years now, a little over 20 years. Okay. And I am back to hospital nursing now, so that's what I'm doing.
Very good. Thank you for that. Next, I'd like to welcome Tom Wymore. Tom owns Wymore Seed Farms in Glen Flora. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
All right. Welcome to the program, Tom. Thanks for joining us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Listeners, if you've got a question or a comment, give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. We've got three open phone lines. If you live in the 87th District, or even if you're living outside of the district, these folks represent the entire state as well as the people in their districts. So we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-228-5615. So I'll start with Tom Wymore, and the basic question is, why are you running? What spurred you to take that step and leap into this election?
Well, I've been a resident of the 80th, what is now the 87th district, for more than 35 years, more than 35 years. Mm-hmm. And I've been an observer of what's happening in the state house and so on. And I'm somewhat dismayed over the, as I consider the offering from the, mainly from the Republican Party, but other aspects of the state legislature too. It isn't just the Republicans. And so I've talked to a number of people about running, and I've kind of came to the conclusion that I can't always sit back and wish somebody else would do it. I can't always say, well, why don't you run? And some people said, well, why don't you run? So I never had thought about it, but finally I did, and I said, well, I guess I can. I will. It's going to take some effort, but I would do it. And so here I am doing it.
Have you been involved with local government at all, town government, anything like that?
No, not really.
Okay.
Other than being a taxpayer and a voter.
Sure. And I'll follow up after we hear from Elizabeth Riley. I'm going to ask both of you what you think the main number one issue is. But Elizabeth Riley, why are you running?
I'm running for the same reasons that I have run the last two elections, or not the last two, 2012, and then there was a gap.
Yeah.
It's all about education, it's all about healthcare, and it's all about the environment. And those things encompass a great deal of issues. But I have an added reason I'm running this time. I'm expecting my first grandchild in 2 weeks.
Congratulations.
And I can't, in good conscience, let what's happening to Wisconsin continue. That's why I'm running.
All right. Thank you for that. Tom Wymore, what are the top issues that you see facing people in your district and the state as a whole?
Well, it depends on how you look at it, but there's certainly been an out-migration of young people from our area for a long time. Personally, I kind of like a sparsely populated area. It's nice to live. You know your neighbors. You know who your friends are, and you know mm-hmm. them very well. But there is a very dismal offering of good-paying jobs for young people in the area. They simply don't have an opportunity that they can find either in the Twin Cities area, not very far away, or southern Wisconsin, Madison, maybe Green Bay, the Milwaukee area, all have better job offerings. I don't know if we can do a lot about that. We can certainly encourage small businesses and big businesses to come to northern Wisconsin, but I don't know that we can do a lot about these overriding trends that have been ongoing for a long time. There used to be a lot of small dairy farms in northwestern Wisconsin. There aren't very many anymore. And it has drained, that factor alone has drained a lot of the available manpower out of the area. So that's one of the concerns.
And the like you say, these trends with regard to dairy farms, I mean, obviously we're seeing a lot of dairies grow in size. You know, the smaller number of 100 cows or less farms, now we're seeing larger amounts of 1,000-plus cow operations. So these are trends that are maybe bigger, like you're saying, than just the 87th or the state as a whole. But a lot of people are saying, well, we need to bring jobs back to these rural districts. I mean, is that wishful thinking, do you think? Or what, you know, can anything be done?
Well, I think as far as dairy farming, I think it is wishful thinking. I don't think it's going to return to the good old days as it was when I was a kid and where I grew up. But I think there are other possibilities, and I think they're going to have to be based on our natural resources, forestry products, and to some extent agriculture. There could be some agricultural processing establishments starting or something like that, but I don't know of any offhand. But it's still possible because we do have an agricultural land base that produces a lot of corn, a lot of soybeans. We have, of course, the ACE ethanol plant in Stanley, which is not in the 87th district, but it's not very far away.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a place of employment and it's a place for marketing corn that farmers in our 87th district do grow. So there are some possibilities, but I personally like a sparsely populated area. It's good for hunting, good for fishing, good for a community. You know your people, you know the people that live next door and so on. So it's not altogether a bad thing that we have a sparsely populated area. And, of course, we do have a lot of people from southern Wisconsin and from the Twin Cities areas and so on that come out for recreational purposes, hunting and fishing and camping and generally having fun. And that contributes quite a bit to our local economies, too.
Elizabeth Riley, you live in one of the tourism capitals of Wisconsin, up in Hayward there. So it's another sparsely, fairly, I mean, it's kind of a densely populated area right in the Hayward, but you get outside of there, it's pretty rural and mostly forest. So do you see that as a good thing, the fact that it's kind of sparsely populated, or do you think that there's ways to try to get the economy in that part, in the 87th, to look more like what's happening in Eau Claire or some of the bigger cities where you're seeing growth?
Well, I think we're really lucky up in Sawyer County, in Hayward. Hayward, as you know, is the county seat of Sawyer County, so it's the most densely populated area of Sawyer County. We do have a lot of tourism. That is actually what drives our economy in the summer and in the winter, because we've got the Berkey, mm-hmm. and all kinds of things like that. If you ask my husband, he would say, yeah, the fewer people who we live around, the better, because he's kind of a reclusive kind of guy.
Sure. And that's what attracts a lot of people
absolutely,
to the area.
Absolutely, absolutely it is. But I think that we have a really, well, I hate when I say really unique, it is a unique area in that we have a very robust art scene. We have a very, very robust restaurant scene. There's in Hayward, small as it is, we have a lot that are featured in bigger cities.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, our population is small. It's just about 2,600 people, I think. So we have the best of both worlds. And while I think that whether there are a lot of people or a few people, it's my community. And the community is made up of the people who are in it. So what their interests are sort of become our interests. I know that when I lived in Milwaukee for 9 years, I met the people either that I went to school with or who I worked with, and those were the people we kind of hung out with. But you go to an area like Sawyer County that's kind of spread out, and you find yourself meeting people you probably maybe would not have crossed paths with when you were in a bigger city. And I love that, because that's a kind of diversity that I think makes a community special.
A reminder to our listeners, we're talking with the Democrats running for the 87th State Assembly District election, which is in November. But before that, we've got two Democrats, which is one too many to be on the ballot in November. There is a primary, and the primary is next month. The guests on the show today, the Democrats, are Elizabeth Riley and Tom Wymore. If you've got a question or comment for either of these guests, give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. Elizabeth Riley, I'll follow up with you, and then I'll go to Tom Wymore. But as we've already mentioned, you've run for this seat two times before unsuccessfully. So why do you think a majority of voters in those elections didn't respond to your message then, and why do you think they might now?
Well, I don't want to spend a lot of time thinking about 2012 or 2016, because that's water under the bridge. But I think, actually, I shouldn't have said that, because I want to say actually what happened in 2016 with the tsunami.
It was an interesting year.
That was Trump followers, and I have respect for everyone. I think that there are some people who are clearly wrong and not voting in their or their community's best interest. And I know that one of the things that Jimmy Boy was most vocal about, in fact, right here, was that he was the first Wisconsin legislator to openly endorse Donald Trump. And I'll be honest with you, in this rural district in which we live, everywhere I went, especially in Taylor County, there were Trump billboards everywhere. And it was a little on the intimidating side. Mm. Now that, and again, we're running for a local district. In the state of Wisconsin, it's a relatively large district. It's one of the largest in the state, but one of the most sparsely populated, and basically one of the most Republican districts. Mm-hmm. And I think what we need to do is start finding a meeting of the mind where we can actually look honestly at what some of the problems are. So when I talk, I don't want to throw this all off on a federal or national level when I'm trying to keep it in the state. But when I look at things like what the tariffs imposed by the Trump administration is going to do to our soybean farmers, which has already started, that makes me really nervous. And I think if we talk about where it's going to hit somebody in the wallet, that's where it's going to come home, is when you're looking at how tariffs affect our farmers. And Mr. Wymore, and I have to say, I'm really happy to finally meet him and get a chance to talk to him. A primary can't do anything but good for the party, because you get more people and we're all on the same side. So I think this is a really good opportunity for everyone in our district. So getting back to that, I'm sorry, I kind of lost the thread of your question there. I think that I can't, as Mr. Wymore said, I can't sit back and watch things happen to my district. He talked about forestry and camping and fishing and things like that. We aren't going to have any forest left. We aren't going to have any clean water in which to fish if we don't do something to protect our environment now. And we have an administration who is clearly not interested in protecting our environment. And as far as jobs go, we need somebody who's going to represent the northern part of the state. Jimmy Boy, and again, I have to bring it back here, voted for Foxconn. That is an organization that has no ties, let alone to the country, let alone to the state. They say they're going to employ all these people. I hope they do. That would be great. But so far, all I'm seeing is a lot of promises from them, a lot of money from taxpayers in my district that is going to go on and on for the next 10 years with no guarantee of ever getting that back.
Tom Wymore, I was trying to find some information about you online in preparation for the show. I didn't see any campaign website, not really any social media presence, which is fine, but how are you reaching out to your constituents to let them know you know, why you think they should pick you on in August 14th.
Well, as far as the website is concerned, it's an it's going to be born quite soon.
Sure.
We're working on it. It hasn't quite come to...
And that's not unusual. There's plenty of candidates that don't have them.
It's just a matter of a few days to see that. As far as reaching out, a lot of different ways, I guess. Telephone calls, personal visits. I go to various meetings and functions and talk to people. It's a little bit hard because I'm handicapped. I'm in a wheelchair, but I do go to as much as many civic events as I possibly can. I was going to go to one in Gilman a couple of weeks ago, but it rained all morning, so it was pretty hard to get there. But I'm reaching out a lot of different ways, and even on the radio.
And I wanted to follow up with your seed company. Elizabeth Riley mentioned the tariffs, and a lot of people mm-hmm. are concerned about soybeans and what effect that might have on farmers in Wisconsin. Would that possibly affect your business, and are you concerned about those tariffs as well?
Oh, you bet. It will. It certainly will. If the price of soybeans keeps going down, as it probably will with the embargo or the tariffs, it's definitely going to have an effect on probably my business directly. But more important than my business is the entire northwest Wisconsin, because there are a lot of soybean acres in Rusk County, a lot of soybeans acres in Taylor County, and even some in Sawyer County. So, yes, it's definitely going to have an impact, and that's I hope some of these people who voted for Trump in the last go-around will scratch their heads and say, is this really what we wanted? Is this what we voted for? Maybe we should take another look at this and consider the price of soybeans and corn and so on and vote on our own economic self-interest.
And following up again, and I'll put this to both of you, but first Tom Wymore. I mean, that's a federal thing. That's the president basically acting on his own. Members of his party in Congress aren't super happy about the tariffs. So what can state assembly do, if anything, about that?
Probably not much. This might be a force that's larger than what we can contend with, but we can certainly make our voices be heard and let the people who are in our district know that we are not in Trump's camp, and I definitely am not. So that's about as much as I think we can do right now. But to the extent that anyone is concerned or cares about it or makes an issue of it, I am not in Trump's camp at all.
Elizabeth Riley, what can a state assembly member from the 87th do with regard to trying to help farmers that might be suffering because of tariffs?
That's absolutely a valid question, and I'm going to agree with Mr. Wymore. I don't know specifically what we can do except be vocal and represent the people in our districts down at the state level, because what we have now is an administration who completely, full-throatedly, wholeheartedly supports those policies that are being sent down here. And I think part of our problem up here is that if you go down to Madison or Milwaukee and you talk to people, and they'll say, oh, yeah, I'm from up north, and I'll say, where? And they say, Wausau. And that's not up north.
Yeah, don't even get me started.
And so, you know, let's really represent the people up north. And so that means instead of giving our money to corporations like Foxconn down in the southern part of the states, and I will also say that sucks money that has been set aside specifically for the roads up in the northwest. Let's get some of that back and put it in our own communities and help people in our own communities get started with small businesses or any number of things. Let's go back and fund our schools. Let's pay our teachers a decent wage. Let's pay our other workers a living wage. There is nowhere, even in our rural district, where anyone can live with a salary of $7.25 an hour. There isn't. There's nowhere in the state of Wisconsin. So, you know, good for all those jobs in the southern part that Foxconn is supposedly going to give. But where's our representative up here, up in the northern part of the state, where the cost of living is absolutely as high? Go to Sawyer County. And you'll see. So that's what we need to focus on.
With that, let's take our first break. You're listening to the 87th State Assembly District Primary Candidate Debate on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for joining us. Joining me in the studio are two Democratic candidates competing in the August 14th primary. They are Elizabeth Riley of Hayward and Tom Wymore of Glenflora. The winner of that election will take on Republican and current sitting Representative James Jimmy Boy Edming. We'll hear more from Elizabeth Riley and Tom Wymore when we return. This is The West Side.
Wisconsin Public Radio announces our Big Top Trip August 12th through 13th. We'll take a Lamers Coach bus to see a show at Lake Superior Big Top Chautauqua, home of Tent Show Radio. We will experience the show, All Aboard, featuring songs from On the Velvet and other songs and stories of trains, train travel, and railmen. We will follow the theme of trains with a tour of the Lake Superior Train Museum. Prices start at $275 for multiple occupancy. Learn more at WPR.org/travel.
Support for WPR comes from Glass Nickel Pizza, 20 years of employee and customer-inspired pizzas made from scratch at 8 Wisconsin locations, dedicated to sustainability practices and community support. GlassNickelPizza.com.
All aboard WPR's Big Top Trip August 12th through 13th. We'll see a show at Lake Superior Big Top Chautauqua, tour the Lake Superior Train Museum, and stay at Hotel Shawamigan. Learn more at WPR.org/travel.
On November 6th, when Wisconsinites go to the polls, 116 seats in the state legislature will be up for election. For more than 20 years, Wisconsin Public Radio has invited Western Wisconsin candidates to our Eau Claire studios in an effort to inform our listeners about the people hoping to represent them in the state legislature. Next week's show will be joined by the three Democratic candidates running for the 31st State Senate District, Jonathan Schultz, Steve Bowe, and Jeffrey Smith. Today, we are talking with the Democratic primary candidates running for the 87th State Assembly District, Elizabeth Riley and Tom Wymore. A reminder of what the 87th District is, or what it looks like. It includes all of Rusk and Taylor counties, as well as most of Sawyer County, the northwestern portion of Marathon County, and a small part of northwestern Clark County. For more than 16 years, the district has voted Republican, but the two people in the studio with me today are hoping to change that. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call. If you've got a question or a comment for our listeners, you can call whether you're in the district or not. But we do have a caller right now, and we're going to go to Matt in Hayward. Matt, are you there?
Yeah.
All right, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
I'd like to know what the candidates see as the major environmental issues that are facing northern Wisconsin right now, and what can be done about those issues.
All right, thanks for that, Matt. Let me start with Tom Wymore. What do you think? We've already touched on some environmental issues, but specifically, what do you think is number one, if you know, facing?
Well, the state DNR has the purpose and function of protecting groundwater, air quality, and wildlife. And I think the biggest issue right now is to refund the DNR and to bring the workforce there back up to its full strength. It's at about 80% right now. And I think we need to have an administration in Madison that supports the DNR and helps it do its purpose to complete the functions that it was designed to do, protect the water, protect the air, and maintain wildlife balances and things like that. Getting back just for a moment to Foxconn,
sure.
I've been a businessman all my life. I've been self-employed for many years, and I'm basically regard myself as pro-business, but I see neither wisdom or justice in taking wages from people, for example, at Gelled Wind, which is a window factory, just 7 miles from where I live. And people there average about $16 to $17 an hour. I see no wisdom or justice in taking their wages and contributing it to a fund that will pay the Foxconn employees, as they are boasting, going to be $28 or $30 an hour. If those wages are that good and this company is that wealthy, why can't they pay their own way? Why do the taxpayers in Wisconsin have to be on the hook for 30 or 40 years to the tune of $3.5 billion or $4 billion. It makes no sense.
And I'm going to follow up on the Foxconn in just a bit here, but Elizabeth Riley, getting back to the caller's question about, you know, what are the biggest threats to the environment and what can be done about it. What would you say?
Well, I agree with what Mr. Wymore said 100%. And I think funding or rehiring the people who are supposed to be working in the DNR, but put people in the DNR who actually want to see good things happen to the environment, not this real estate mentality that we've had in there. And we also need to hire our scientists back, because that's one of the first things that happened with Republican legislation is they got rid of all the scientists. And it's that makes no sense to me either that they did that. But we've got things like frac sand mining, and those things destroy groundwater. We have factory farms with wells that are pretty much unregulated at this point. Those are all things that we need to stop because we need to save our groundwater. I don't know that people understand how important that is, because if you look at where the next big problem is going to be, it's going to be lack of clean water. We all need clean water. I can't stress enough how important that is.
Well, the argument that has been made for the changes at the DNR, the reduction, the idea is that they want it to be more business friendly and not adversarial to business. So I'll follow up with you. You know, isn't that understandable? If while you feel and many feel that the DNR might be under attack and the environment might be under attack, some business people have felt the same way about the DNR attacking them. So where's the balance?
There is a balance in there somewhere. But if you look at it from the 35,000 foot view, if we don't protect what we've got, it will go away. And we are not protecting what we've got. At least if you look at the business aspect of this, what do people want? Is it a deer farm up in Sawyer County? And that's a business and people want to use that and make some money. Fine. But then what are those people going to do? And then they'll say, oh, there's too much regulation. But if you've got a problem like chronic wasting disease, that's a big problem. And if you're going to, people need to be responsible for what they're doing and to be able to say, well, we're just going to eliminate these regulations so that people can do whatever they want. Like frac sand mining. There used to be some of the prettiest stretch of farms on Highway 53 north of here, between here and Rice Lake. Mm-hmm. And it's just giant piles of the sand, railroad lines, and things like that. And that, to me, is not being responsible for the environment.
Tom Wymore, as a businessman, and you said that you consider yourself pro-business, where is the balance? I mean, have you ever had the feeling that the DNR was overly burdensome in terms of adding cost to your operations or anything like that?
Not my own operations, no. But the balance is, I think you have to look at regulation by regulation. That's how they get put on the books. That's how they're enforced. Mm-hmm. And if it is particularly onerous, it could be modified, maybe even eliminated. But in large scale, I think you have to say, look, this is the purpose and the function of the DNR. And yes, there are going to be people here and there who are not happy with the regulations that are imposed, but they're for the good of all the people. They're for the good of the public. Everybody needs clean water. Everybody needs clean air. And if the DNR is coming down hard on someone who is polluting and so on, well, that's what they should do. That's their job. And if it causes a friction or someplace, so be it. We can't have the DNR controlled by business interests. That's the whole idea, was to have a DNR that would enforce clean water standards and clean air standards and so on.
With that, we've got another call coming in right now, and we're going to go to Gary in Eau Claire. Gary, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hi. I thank you two for running up there in the 87th. However, my question is, why would you consider running with the gerrymandering that has been done in the states by Republicans? I think that any Democrat's chance of winning in this gerrymandered system is pretty darn near nil. The person who represents us in the House of Representatives used to win by 300. Now she wins by 3,000. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Gary. Appreciate it. That's another issue that I definitely wanted to bring up. I'll start with Elizabeth Riley. Redistricting in 2011, if anything, it made a district that was already favoring Republicans or more Republican in general even safer for Republicans. So I guess the question is, why bother running when the chances of winning are maybe less than they used to be before redistricting in 2011?
Well, the chances are a lot less than they were before redistricting. There was a reason that Republicans went across the street to a law firm to redraw the lines of the districts and then swear every Republican to an oath of secrecy that they would not talk about the districts to their constituents until after they were made public. And they did it across the street so they could claim attorney-client privilege rather than do these in the Capitol, because they knew that what they were doing was wrong. Now, that said, I know a lot of people say Democrats would do the same thing. And one of the things that sort of bothered me the most about when Governor Doyle was governor was that he had an opportunity to create a bipartisan task force to create districts, and he turned it down. And that is coming back to haunt us. But it gets down to the question of, why would you do it if you know that you're not likely to win? Well, read your Don Quixote. I'm going to tilt that windmill as long as I have to. As I said, I have a grandchild coming. I have watched our schools being degraded. I have watched our teachers, their profession, being degraded. I have watched people not able to obtain health care and the services they need in order to survive. I can't sit back and not do anything about that. And this is my way of trying to. And I hope I come off as strident, and I try not to. I want people to listen, and I want people to understand that they can have a conversation with me. We can talk. Doesn't matter if you're a Republican, doesn't matter if you're a Democrat, we can talk. But this is where it starts, to make this a better world.
And a quick follow-up, so would you push for some kind of redistricting reform in Wisconsin if elected?
You bet I would.
Tom Wymore, same question to you. I guess the caller's question was, why bother running if the chances are slimmer than they had been in the past? And also, would you push to try to change how political lines are drawn?
Well, I'll answer the last question first. Yes, of course I would. Fair is fair, and they're not fair. The lines are not fair. There has been gerrymandering, and I think a lot of people recognize that, but a lot of voters don't. They simply go to the polls, vote where they're supposed to vote, and that's it. Unfortunately, we've got some work to do to inform people as to what really happened with this gerrymandering of districts. Why bother? Well, I think I'm finding, as I talk to people in the district, that a lot of people are reconsidering their alignment or their allegiance to the GOP and are starting to say, hey, maybe there is a better way. Maybe this other party does have something to offer. And I believe, again, fair is fair. And people generally have a sense of fairness and decency that I think can't always be obliterated by gerrymandering.
With that, let's take our final break. Wisconsin's partisan primary is August 14th. That's when we'll learn which of the two Democratic candidates in the studio with me right now running for the 87th State Assembly seat will move on to challenge James Jimmy Boy Edming. He's the Republican incumbent for the 87th District. This is the West Side. I'm Rich Kramer. We'll talk more with the candidates when we return. Also, we'll hear what Jimmy Boy has to say about what he felt was his biggest accomplishment, and then we're going to use that as a jumping-off point for more conversation. So if you've got questions or comments, we'd love to hear it. 1-800-228-5615. We've had two great calls so far, and phone lines are wide open right now. 800-228-5615. This is The West Side.
Thank you for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your gift.
Thank you for your support.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks to members like you, WPR is a place where every day we can learn something new, get news we trust, expand our perspective, and enjoy great entertainment just when we need it. Your support makes everything you enjoy on WPR possible. Thank you.
Support for WPR comes from Al Johnson Swedish Restaurant and Boutique in Sister Bay, home of Scandinavian cuisine, Swedish pancakes with lingonberries, and goats on the roof. Open daily from 6 to 8. More at aljohnsons.com.
Summer Thursday nights in Tower Park, downtown Colfax, are special with music from 7 to 8 p.m. with popcorn, root beer floats, and more available. Thursday, July 12th, it's John Loy, the concertina guy. The rain venue is the Colfax Fairgrounds building.
It's time for WPR's Big Top Trip, August 12th through 13th. Staying at Hotel Shawamigan, dining at Deepwater Grill, and featuring a show all aboard at Lake Superior Big Top Chautauqua. Learn more at WPR.org/travel.
Welcome back to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rich Kramer. Thank you for joining us. In the studio with me right now are the two candidates running in the Democratic primary. The primary election is August 14th. We're talking about the 87th Assembly District here. Elizabeth Riley of Hayward and Tom Wymore of Glen Flora are the candidates. You can join us by calling 800-228-5615. Before we get into the discussion, we had our producer Molly Dove speak with Jimmy Boy about some of his biggest accomplishments that he felt were the top issues. He has what he called a headstrong passion behind a bill that he helped pass called the Employment First Bill, which helps people with disabilities find jobs. Edming said it was not just a goal for his current term, but he hopes to make it a priority again if reelected.
60% of Wisconsin residents with disabilities are unemployed, according to the LEAD Center, an organization helping employ people with disabilities. Edming says many of them are willing to do anything, and if they are able to work, they should. That's why he played a key role in drafting the legislation for the Employment First Bill. It promotes policies that encourage workplaces in the community to hire people with disabilities.
At the local movie theater, they hire one of the kids there. He serves popcorn and soda. They do everything from scrubbing floors to washing windows to working in restaurants. These kids want to work. Their happiest day of the year for them is April 15th. That's the day they get to pay taxes like everybody else.
Edming says about 90,000 jobs are open across Wisconsin. And if there are people who want to work, he wants to get them a job.
30 years ago, they used to just put them away, you know, just keep them at home and whatnot. And now they're going to the places like Black River Industries in Medford, Ventures up in Hayward, and Westlake and Ladysmith. For instance, this one kid from Medford, he's working at a window factory, and he's making $15.50 an hour.
If he is reelected, Edming says revising the Employment First Bill will be his main priority. He says now that people with disabilities have an easier time landing jobs, the issue of getting to and from work is the next step to take action on. Molly Dove, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And with that, let's go to the candidates. Again, I'm talking for the rest of this hour with Tom Wymore of Glen Flora and Elizabeth Riley of Hayward, two Democrats hoping to unseat James Jimmy Boy Edming. Tom Wymore, I'll start with you. Are you supportive of Jimmy Boy's Employment First Bill or the ideas behind it? And if you were elected, would you try to pick up the mantle on that?
Why not? It's a good idea. And here's a personal note to Jimmy Boy. I'm handicapped Jimmy. I'm in a wheelchair, and so I'm looking for a job in the 87th Assembly District. Thank you, Jimmy.
Elizabeth Riley. Yeah.
Right on. Actually, I'm going to say everybody wants meaningful employment. Everybody wants meaning and deserves meaning in their lives. What I would want to do is look at some of the wages that these people are making. I think in addition to that, we have to look at what we're doing for families, because we have a lot of people with special needs who have families who have special needs. And until we look at where the problems are actually, from where they come, and trying to help families help themselves, certainly employment is a big part of it. And as I said, people need meaning in their lives. Everybody deserves to have a meaningful life. But we have a lot of families who need a lot of support in order to make good things happen for them. And that's where I see that we really need to pay more attention. Yes, the employment is good, but we've got to help entire families.
I wanted to talk a little bit about tribal relations, too, because the 87th District includes, I believe it includes, the Lac-Couturier Reservation. And in the past, with regard to the wolf hunting bill and the mining bills that have gone through, the tribes have felt like they were left out completely of the process. So, Elizabeth Riley, I'll start with you. Do you think, how will you engage with and represent members of Lac-Couturier in Madison, and do you think the state has done a good job, you know, interacting with tribes?
No, I don't think it's done a good job of interacting with tribes. Our county, Sawyer County, the county party, the Democratic Party, we call ourselves the LCO Sawyer County Dems. I believe that if we are to survive as a country, as a world, it's going to be indigenous people who save us. I look at what our Native American people are fighting for as far as clean water and clean air. Those are the people who are doing a lot of heavy lifting. When I lost that election in 2016, I was pretty sort of spinning my wheels for a while there, trying to think, well, what can I do that has meaning? And so I went down to the area known as Standing Rock and applied and was able to work as a nurse there, and saw the dedication and the spirituality and the work that these people were doing to get the message out about water being life. Water is life. So we definitely need to do more to include those people throughout the country in the decisions that are being made.
Tom Wymore, same question to you. Do you think the state, the current administration, the current makeup of the legislature has done well interacting with tribes on issues like mining and other things that are controversial? And if not, what would you do to try to better that?
Well, I would listen better in the first place. And in large measure, the Republicans, that now that they're in control, have basically ignored the tribes and their wishes. And so since they got a majority, they don't need to listen to them. But that's unfortunate, their mindset, and it's unfortunate for the tribes and for the environment, because these people are on target many times on the environmental issues.
With that, I want to talk, I guess we'll bring up Foxconn again, because that seemed to be a hot topic among the two of you. The incentive package for Foxconn to lure them to the state was $3 billion. Some estimates have it higher at like $4.5 billion. So the governor is putting out, and his campaign people are putting out, a lot of advertising. In fact, every article I found about Foxconn had a little advertisement saying that it will, from the Walker campaign, saying that it will benefit the entire state. So, Tom Wymore, I'll start with you and then go to Elizabeth Riley. Do you think that's true? Do you think that people in the 87th, in Glen Flora for that matter, will benefit from the Foxconn, you know, development?
Not much. I can't see it happening. We're a long ways from Sturtevant and the town down there where Pleasant Valley or whatever the township is going to have all this activity. I'm not anti-Foxconn, and I'm basically pro-business, but I don't subscribe to the trickle-down theory that if it's good for somebody up here or down there, let's say this time, that it's going to be good for everybody up and down the line. It doesn't work that way. And you can still see a lot of poverty, and you will see a lot of poverty in Sawyer County, Russ County, Taylor County, and so on, even after Foxconn is up and operating. And that's not going to help northern Wisconsin hardly at all.
Elizabeth Riley?
Sorry,
I didn't mean to cut you off. Elizabeth Riley, same question. Do you think that people in Hayward or in the 87th will get any of that spillover effect that the governor and Republicans that have championed Foxconn say is coming?
No, I don't. I agree with Mr. Wymore 100%. When you look at the fact that every single taxpayer on April 15th, when they're so happy to go and pay their taxes, that $500 of the taxes they pay, every person that they pay to the state for the next 10 years, $500 of that is going to go directly to Foxconn. And they don't have to start paying it back until 2042. And there's no guarantee that when they do start paying it back, that any of it's going to come right back up to where we are, where we're not getting any representation. I think that if I had been the representative, I would not have voted for Foxconn. And like Mr. Wymore, I believe that we need jobs. I believe that we need business. But we can't have businesses that pollute with impunity, as Foxconn has been also given the red light to do.
Sure.
Green light.
It depends on how you look at it, I guess. That was the other question, follow-up with regard to Foxconn, is the exemptions. And we're seeing it not just with Foxconn, but other companies. In fact, there's a sand mining operation down in Monroe County that recently tried to get legislators to exempt them from environmental regulations like wetland regulations. You're against it.
I am against that. We need those regulations. This begs the question of why we fired all the scientists were fired from the DNR. To a lot of people, climate change is not a problem. It is a problem. The science is settled. And unless we do things like protect our wetlands, even here in Wisconsin, that can have effect on others. Each of us needs to do what we can to make this an inhabitable planet.
Tom Wymore, very quickly on exemptions from environmental regulations to attract jobs.
What was the environmental regulation there in the first place for? I mean, if it's not going to apply to this business and not going to apply to the next business that wants to come in and not going to apply to the next business because they're all special businesses and they got to be exempted, you may as well throw the whole regulation business out the window. That's what the regulations are there for, and that's why they should be implied and applied and enforced. And they should not be special. There should not be special exemptions because this guy's going to have 15 jobs and that company's going to come in with 35 jobs. I think there must be a way that those jobs can be saved, and I'd be all in favor of that. But I don't think they should have special exemptions just because they're creating jobs.
We are getting close to the top of the hour, and I still have a lot of topics that I think we would have a great discussion on. But school funding is one of the major things that is... It's a perennial issue. So Governor Scott Walker is calling himself the education governor, and part of the reason for that is he's been boasting about a recent increase of $200 per student in state aid to all school districts approved in this year's in the state budget. Do you think the governor deserves that title? And also, kind of following up on that is, the school funding formula. I've heard candidates come on this show for almost 8 years now saying it's broke. Both parties, but yet we're still in that same boat. So, Tom Wymore, education governor and funding formula.
No, not at all. Look what he did to the University of Wisconsin a few years ago. Look what he did to the entire state budget process, to every little school district throughout the state. Funds were reduced, and for him to come around now and say he was an education governor is ridiculous. And I hope he doesn't really believe that people have got memories that are that short. But while I'm on the topic, I'd like to say one more thing that really is a matter of interest to me, and that is, why in the world did the state of Wisconsin ever get involved in providing funding for schools that are religious in nature? Religious and parochial schools should not be funded by state taxpayer dollars.
The charters. The
charter schools, yeah. And the voucher schools.
Voucher
and so
schools.
On. It's exactly as wrong as it can be, period.
Elizabeth Riley, your thoughts on education, Governor Voucher? There's three things there, but,
Yeah, I've made my point in 2012 when all of this first happened. I made my point in 2016, and I'm going to make my point in 2018. Governor Walker is not the education governor unless he means the destruction of education governor, because what he's done to our public school systems and our great universities, where professors are leaving and taking their research funding with them from the UW system. We've got wonderful, wonderful teachers and wonderful, wonderful schools. And for him to say, yes, I've given more money than any governor because I'm increasing it by $200 per student, doesn't bring us anywhere near where we were in 2009, even. It's a drop in the bucket.
With that, the last question I've got for both of you is, you know, I've heard a lot of agreeing, and both of you seem to have similar viewpoints, not surprising, in a primary. So what sets you apart? So what is the thing that voters should pick you, Elizabeth Riley, over Tom Wymore? Putting you on the spot.
I'm sure that Mr. Wymore will fight absolutely as hard as I will. Even just to decide to run is a great... It's an honor to be able to do it. It's an honor to be able to go around and knock on doors and shake the hands of people who live in our district, and I spend a lot of time doing that. I think I will make the better representative. I can't say anything about his passion, but I can say something about my passion, and I have worked very hard for this for years, and I never thought that I was going to have to wake up every morning and spend 3 hours going through the news and looking at what's happening so that I could be well-informed and be able to do this job. But I think I am well-informed and can do this job.
Tom Wymore, we've got less than a minute left, so why should voters pick you over Elizabeth Riley?
Well, that decision really isn't mine. It's up to the voters, and I feel honored to be able to talk to citizens and taxpayers and bricklayers and farmers and loggers and so on throughout the district, and find that they are listening and they are open to a new idea, a new face, and a new voice. And I hope I am that voice, but if I'm not, well, that's up to the voters in the district.
Thank you both for your discussion. That was great. I really appreciate it. Tom Wymore is the Democrat running in the August 14th primary. He is from Glenflora. Elizabeth Riley is the candidate running from in Hayward, running in the primary. Thank you both so much. Also, thanks to Team Westside. We'll be back next Monday morning with another candidate forum.